right.
I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Oh, that's a fair question.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
But we've started
warning.
Already.
All right, awesome.
Hey, this is John. Hey, this is Home From Here. If I was strong enough to have kidnapped a personal trainer to be here, I would have kidnapped her, but I didn't. I just talked her into it. I'm trying to think if I have any business. Oh! We're nominated for Best Podcast for Best of Hudson Valley. If you vote for us, I get an extra $5 an advertisement. So that's kind of a lie. I'll probably still change the same anyway. But we are nominated, so vote for us. The Lifted Project. You know what the Lifted Project is?
I don't.
It's really cool. So the Lifted Project, April 21st at 1 o'clock. I wrote a song with this 24-year-old. Her name is Liv. She's like this.
Oh, she was just on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 32 of the best musicians in the Hudson Valley are getting together, and we're singing it to raise awareness for Hudson River Housing, which has put over 1,500 homes up for people low-income and homes, and also does vet services, like drives veterans everywhere. Yeah. Serendipity. I don't know why I keep doing that. Berkshire Farm Center for Children, which places foster care.
But they own a building that rents from them.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
No, huh? Okay.
somebody I know.
Oh, okay. So you know foster care?
Yes.
Which I was in the system, so I'm down for that. And Hudson Valley, what's that?
Do you want, we'll talk about it in a second. Go ahead. No. Hudson Valley, no, you finished.
And Hudson Valley Animal Rescue.
Awesome.
And also Kidney for Clark, who he was on a show. He's a crazy story. He was a detective, got COVID. And his wife got COVID at the same time. And
I saw that you posted the story.
Yeah.
A strong couple.
Oh, amazing couple.
Yeah.
But I should tell people who you are.
Okay. Let's just talk about everybody else.
Except
together,
you.
Together.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Carrie Martabano.
Right.
You found me on Facebook.
I did. Okay.
And I took a risk. I said I'm either going to end up, you know, in a basement. We're in a recording studio.
And how did it pan out?
We're in a recording studio.
And it's on the first floor.
Best case scenario.
Okay, first off. So that's the Lifted Project. First off.
Amazing.
Thank you. So that's going to be fun. So if you're around and want to come to Paula's Runway Cafe.
Okay. April 21st.
April 21st at 1 o'clock. You should come and dance.
I'm okay.
You sing?
I should not sing.
Because
it sounds horrible.
Okay.
That's why I lip sync in my videos, because I feel like my soul was meant to sing, but
your body.
My vocal cords were like, no.
So Leslie Wayne.
Yeah.
She was on the show. And she has cancer. She has a form of stomach cancer. Her prognosis was 4 years, and she's in her fourth year. But she loves to dance. So she's on the show like once a month, and she's coming to dance. You are more than invited.
Oh, yeah.
But
before I leave, definitely give me that information.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So first off, your exercise videos are rock star.
Thank you.
All right. So how do you make those?
I don't know. I learned slowly about reels. I was like, my friends always say, like, I can't believe you.
No, but the timing, like your timing is... Do you like do like every third frame or something?
You know, John, I think it's a skill I was born with. No, I don't know. I don't do anything. You can just like make
for
a
real,
and then I just know in my head like what exercises I'm gonna do, and then if the timing works out with the music and like a cute little move at the same time, then it works. And sometimes it doesn't.
What is the gist?
The gist. So I just during COVID. Our gym closed down, like every gym,
right.
And all of the members. So, as a group exercise trainer at Sawmill Club in Mount Kisco, and
Are you still?
Currently, yeah.
You and I are going to work out.
Oh,
yes?
Oh, yeah.
Could we?
Absolutely.
Do you want to come to mine?
And your wife? Yeah.
Do you want to?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
All of it, yeah.
Okay, come to mine because we've been to Sawmill. So
yeah.
Come to mine.
Yeah.
Not that mine's better.
Yeah, we'll try something
new. Get you something new.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you closed down with COVID, and so then I was just on, people wanted to exercise, and everybody was stuck home, so I just started doing it live on Facebook for free, just
right.
for fun, and then, you know, things started to open, or things stopped, we thought were going to open back up and didn't, so then I,
right.
you know.
I'm getting in your face a little
bit. Yeah, go ahead, get up in there. All right, and so then, you know, obviously everybody started needing to make money and still needed to work out, so I just made it a private group, and it was amazing. It was so fun. And, you know, I never.
And are you still doing it?
Still doing it. So
how do we hire you for that?
So the GIST stands for, I just made it up, get your shit together.
Love it.
So you can find me on Facebook. And I just do, so it's a private Facebook group where you just, I teach live, but the classes are streamable. So I can, you can take it live with me and I can just see your name pop up, but not mm-hmm. you. And most people don't take it live because I'm an early bird. So
right.
then you can just stream it.
How early is early?
I teach at 5:30. Yeah.
All right.
It's rough.
Wait.
Well, not for me. I love it.
What time do you go to bed?
5:30 p.m.
Is that for real?
No, I try to go to bed. You know, I have four kids. So it's like, ideally, would I love to be in bed by 8:30? Yeah. But, you know, lacrosse, sports, wrestling, all that stuff. So, I mean, I try to be asleep by 10, but in bed by 9.
God bless, man. I'm legit in bed by 7:30 every
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I would. That would be my dream. That's my goal every night. But
how young is your youngest?
9.
Oh, so you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the wild one.
Too. Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I just really stopped parenting. I tell him I clock out at 7:30. So
right. You're on your own anyway?
Yep.
I'm here if I see blood.
Even then, it's,
okay.
you know, like,
okay.
How much blood?
Right. Fair enough.
Yep.
The thing I love about your exercise videos is the combination of, like, dance with exercise. I don't think people who watch it can do it.
Okay.
But they can't. But
well.
They can't. But it's motivational.
Isn't it?
It looks like exercise is fun.
And that's what I really was not trying to do anything but to be like embarrass my children somewhat.
Well,
like,
that's always a goal.
The goal was like, how can I embarrass them in a public format?
Right.
So that was number one.
And the biggest public format I can find.
Yeah, where all their friends are a part
there
of.
There you go.
Yep, so that was number one.
Mission accomplished.
Yep, check. And then, you know, promote my business while having fun. Like, I love to just, like, play and not be too grown up-y.
Yeah, but your form is sick.
Oh, thank you.
You're not playing.
I was a gymnast.
Oh, you were?
So I have a little background.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for noticing that. Your
form is ridiculous.
Thank you. It's something I must, like, I just don't even think about because I think just doing gymnastics from such a young age, I probably take it for granted that it's just so,
really
second nature.
I'm hypersensitive to form because, we were talking about Julie.
Yes.
So I work out with Julie, like, 5 days a week.
Yep. Wow.
And she's like you. Her form is flawless.
Yeah.
And she started talking to me. She's like, "Well, your shoulders are rolling like all the time."
Yeah.
And she's like, "You, because when you play guitar, you're hunched. And hung over."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so
you don't
I did that for like 4 hours a day for forever. So I gave my not really scoliosis, but kind of scoliosis mm-hmm. where like I don't mm-hmm. and so she started trying to. She started. But her correction is she walks up in my ear. She goes, "No guitar in here. No guitar in here."
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But like 5 times an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like hypersensitive to form right now. And yours
good.
Is perfect.
Thank you.
Were you competitive? Like,
yeah.
How good were you?
I mean, like on a scale of like me and, you know, not very good.
Okay. You,
I mean, I did up until middle school. I was probably pretty good.
Did you have any? Did you get an eating disorder?
Nope.
No.
Knock on wood.
Bravo, 40, man.
41 years, still eat like a champ.
Okay, very good. That's one of the,
you know what? Our coach didn't push weight, which is
really
which is interesting because most gyms did. It was never never got brought up, or maybe just because I was always small, so maybe they didn't, maybe the older, I don't know.
Yeah, but
never.
You're ripped now.
I mean, yeah. You're not... Well, because I was always into something.
Oh, okay. All right.
Literally. Always
okay.
into something.
So form is perfect.
Thank you.
Videos are really fun.
Yep. I like this podcast. Let's keep going.
Okay.
You want to write it all down, too.
It's just, well, we don't have to. I'll it's being it recorded.
True. Make my kids sit there and listen to it.
That's over and over in the car.
Yep.
Okay, so I got a couple exercise myths I want to blow past you. No,
okay.
There's things I don't think people know about exercise that I want to see if you think are true.
Okay.
First off, maintenance is not that hard.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
I'm just like, so 3 years ago, I was like 50 pounds heavier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I dropped like 50 pounds, and I don't know what the universe was telling me to do, but the universe is like, get in the gym because you're going to need to be in the gym.
The universe is saying lose some freaking weight.
Well, and because you're going to have to for trash,
yeah.
too.
Yes, like, right. Oh, it was before that.
Before that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the universe was. like this.
It's time.
We made enough room for one of you.
Yeah, but, yeah. Right.
So I dropped 50 pounds and I get into shape. But because when you lose that much weight, at least me – like it requires like a big change in eating habits. You are and like a severe program though. I was carnivore for like 4 months.
Wow.
And then no carb after that for like another 3 months.
Okay.
When I say no carb, like
low carb, like no bad carbs.
No, like yeah. I wouldn't allow myself rice. Like if I bumped into a carb on accident, like a vegetable. I would have a vegetable. There's carbs in a vegetable.
Yeah, but.
And I still, like now, I was working out like 2.5-3 hours a day.
Okay.
You think that's too much?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody thinks that's too much. But
it depends what you're doing it for, right? If you're doing it to lose weight, it's too much. If you're doing it because you enjoy it, then that's different. Or
right.
If you're training for something, then that's different.
Well, I'm doing it to lose weight I already lost.
Yeah, it's gone.
That's bad.
It's time to let go.
Okay.
Time
so
to
how?
Accept.
Okay, fair enough. But it's so it's so hard. What I want people to hear is that like starting exercise is the hardest part.
Yes.
The second hardest part is getting yourself to where you want to be. But once you're there, you don't have to keep doing the same shit you did when you were getting there.
In the beginning.
Is that true?
True. Yeah. So, you know, in my opinion, so I do like some nutrition stuff too. And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's a total change of life. And even when people are like, well, it's genetics. Well, maybe a part of it is, but also maybe it's just the way you were raised, right? If you were raised on not living a healthy lifestyle, not eating healthy, and eating – and your portions were bigger just because your parents or your grandparents it's not necessarily genetic.
Right.
It's environmental maybe,
right.
You know, and how you were raised. So you're relearning all these different behaviors. So it seems overwhelming and, like, you have to be so extreme. But like you said, maintenance isn't that hard. It's true because once you've gotten to that point, now it's life. So what your 50-pound plus self was looking at was like, I could never eat that little. I could never work out that much. That was just because it was so different out of your comfort zone, right?
Right.
So now you're in your comfort zone. But got you getting to that behavior in most people being overweight or not active is it's usually deeper than just like, oh, I didn't know how to lose weight or, oh, I'm just not active. It's coming from somewhere. So
yeah.
An addiction. So how you're saying you're still working out 2.5 hours, it's probably some type of, you know, it's consuming you. It's an addictive pattern, maybe a little bit of what you are worried about going back to. And, you know, finding that balance is what's important so you don't get burned out. But if you are enjoying being there.
Well, you know what it is too? And you teach in a club, so you know this.
Yeah.
Like where I work out, Julie's my best friend. DJ's almost my best friend.
It's your life.
Yeah. And so like you want to support them.
Yeah.
And you feel like if I'm not going to classes, I'm not supporting.
Yeah, we don't think that.
And well, you don't think that.
Yeah, maybe Julie.
Right.
No.
But so you want to be supportive, A,
yeah.
But B, you're right. Like a little bit of it is clinging to – so before I was fat, I was crazy.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So it's all something.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know, your baby steps to all the goodness.
Well, what I did is I was on like 7 – do you know the story?
Cause no.
Okay. So I mean crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
I mean
legit.
Aliens in my underwear with a BB gun, crazy, crazy. And I got diagnosed with
at what
like
age?
50.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
Older. Okay.
No, yeah. How dare you?
Not teenager. Not like teenage stuff.
No.
Like,
I flipped late.
Not
in
like
life.
You had too many brownies.
No.
Brownies in the underwear.
And so I went nuts and I got diagnosed with like 8 different disorders and got put on 9 different medications. And they started counterindicating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the medications I got put on, but I mean Lulu Bell. I mean the whole, like, 2 different lives, literally, like,
wow.
would sit on the steps with a BB gun after everybody left the house waiting for aliens to come and then go to work and then come home and, like, be a decent dad.
Yeah.
And then the next morning in my underwear waiting with – and it was such a hot picture, too, because I'm 50 pounds overweight in my underwear.
Oh, yeah.
On the stairs. Yeah. Looking good.
Yeah, did you have a cigarette hanging out your mouth?
No.
Oh, damn.
But hair all – and my hair – I look like Nick Nolte's mugshot. Yeah. Like, hair, like, all over the place.
And so you were married at this point.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I'm such a gift. Yeah. I was such a gift. And
better or for worse.
Oh, that was – yeah, man.
Trashy.
I paid it back, though.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yep,
come on.
Yep.
I paid – no, but, like, so mm-hmm. – So I'm on these medications. So one of the medications they give me is lithium.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm lithium toxic, meaning that it actually becomes poison.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start dying. Like, and you can kill somebody, but in crazy land, when you go to everybody and say, I don't like my meds, they're like, of course you don't like your meds. You're crazy.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't like my meds because they're poison. But so.
But they don't listen to you.
They don't. No. And right. And sometimes they're right not to, but
yeah.
In my case, they were wrong to. So literally everybody abandoned ship because I said I'm going off the meds.
Yeah.
Like all of them. I'm just going to figure
back
this out.
Back away slowly.
Well, I didn't.
Yeah.
I
no, them.
Yeah, no, them, yes. But I went cold turkey. We're going to interview you in a second, I promise.
Tell me more, John.
Right?
No, keep going. I love this story.
So I'm like, look, man, I can't do this. And everybody in my life is like, you're batshit crazy.
Yeah.
You need medicine. And I'm like, I can't. I'm going to die. So I hold up with my daughter, who was then 7. And I mean literally everybody else. Start naming names.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like gone. But my daughter, the one thing Trish said is, I know you're never going to go wrong
with her.
With Gramercy. So,
yeah.
So Trish abandoned ship.
Good.
But it was probably good.
Yeah.
But Gramercy and I, so we did a whole summer where I detoxed. And it would literally like, I was wrapped in towels for like a month. And Gramercy would change the towels like every hour.
Wow.
And make me like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But because I wasn't eating and I was scared to go outside. And I'm a mess. And she would take me outside and walk me around and tell me stories.
This is
she,
your daughter?
Yeah.
At 7. Wow.
New, and this was her whole summer.
Talk about guardian angel.
Holy Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
That girl was born 35.
Yeah.
And she would walk me down to the mailbox, and she's like, come on. And I'd be in, like, my bathrobe, and I'd be shuffling. And she'd start telling me a story, and she knew I wouldn't interrupt a story. So she would tell, like, these hour-and-a-half stories, and we would just walk circles. And I'm detoxing, and I'm puking, and I have diarrhea, and there's a pale by the – so finally, I physically detox. It takes about, like, 8 weeks just to physically detox. So then I get in my head. I'm like, okay. That doesn't mean you're not batshit crazy. It just means you're batshit crazy without medication. You got to do something else.
Right.
So I developed this regimen, which I do to this day. I'm up at 3 o'clock every morning. I handwrite 3 pages. It's not a journal. It's just handwriting. But
yep.
You just do it's whatever's going on.
Yep.
Meditate for 40 minutes, and then just don't make stupid decisions the rest of the day. And 8 years not
unmedicated.
Yeah, 8 years unmedicated.
Wow, that's amazing.
But So I did that, and it gave me results. So driving back to exercise now, like with exercise, like I did the exercise, and it gave me a result. And so because of like my mental health, I'm like, well, wait, if I change the exercise, am I going to get fat again?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because there's
so talk me out of that, coach.
All right. So it's just that. It's you're at maintenance mode. It's going to be about weaning off and, you know, and knowing that like you're not just – let's just say you work out now only an hour a day. You're not going to wake up on Sunday 50 pounds heavier. So you tweak as you go, right? So if you're like, you know what, I'm softer than I wanted to be, what can I change? Maybe I need to up my protein. Maybe I need to, instead of a cardio day, I lift, you know, or just changing your workout routine. It doesn't necessarily have to be the intensity. I always tell everybody I'm with that it's not intensity, it's consistency.
Right.
So a combination of lifestyle, diet, and all that stuff. But you can burn yourself out very easily, and then your workouts aren't even as productive. I have a friend who is she became a bikini pro, like bodybuilder, and she works out 45 minutes a day, 4 days a week. Her cardio is walking her dog.
That's crazy.
And it's diet. So and she's jacked. I mean, not even like super big jacked. Like, she's just cut, ripped, not an ounce of body fat on her. She looks great.
Right.
But it's like, there it is. 45 minutes of exactly knows what she's supposed to be doing at what intensity, getting heavier weights, not sitting there being like, oh, I've been lifting, curling 20-pound weights for 7 years. Well, kind of think you should be going heavier. Like, and we all get that way. We all get comfortable, and it's what we can do. And it's not that it's easy, but it's not, we could definitely go harder or heavier. So even if it's only for 5 reps instead of 20 that you've been doing. So it's kind of breaking out of that. So if you've been doing strength classes or whatever, maybe it's time that you lift a little bit more, but you're not going to wake up. I think that's the fear. It's like, you're going to go right back into all these old habits overnight, but you're not. You're so aware, and you're writing, and you're doing this meditation, that you're not going to be able – you're not going to let yourself slip now. You're in a very different place.
Right.
So I think that – and I don't – it sounds like your trainer's definitely not going to let you slip.
No.
I don't think you could veer off that track without her hunting you down.
There are police at the gate. Yeah. That is true.
So I think is – you know, I always just – one of my sayings all the time in class is, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. It doesn't have to be my class. Some people hate strength training. Some people hate spinning. Some people, you know, love it. It's what's good for you. So if you're not enjoying it, then you should be changing something up.
What, true story, what percentage of all this is diet?
Of what? I mean, I guess.
Of fitness.
I guess.
Like, if you of looking the way you want to look.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on what you want to look like. Some people, I was actually just telling my mom. Somebody told me the other day that I was too, like, oh, don't lose any more weight. You know, it's just to each their own.
If I want to look like you, because I think I think you look great.
Thank you.
If I want to look like you, what percentage of it is diet?
I would say 75% to 80% diet.
Is diet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your diet?
So I'm plant-based. I can't say I'm not vegan. I don't want to offend vegans because I'm not 100%. And I, you know, have leather and eat honey and stuff like that. And I do dabble with cheesecake every once in a while. But
God bless. I remember cheesecake.
Yes, there have been times. So I like to think that like 80% of my diet comes from plants. I don't eat meat. I mean, months go by where I don't have any meat or poultry, and it's at 28 I got high cholesterol, and not that I had a terrible diet, I was never like, I never ate red meat really, and they wanted to put me on statins at 28, and I was like, well, can I try, you know, like something else? And she's like, well, you can go vegan, but vegans can also just eat Oreos all day. I was like, well, I'll do it right. So I did it right, and not only did I just feel amazing, and you know, I also like to kind of like try step out of the box and kind of like torture people. Like, everybody's like, oh, I was like eating McDonald's every day in Pizza Hut before that, but all of a sudden I became vegan, and you would have thought I was like killing babies on the side, and everybody had like a huge problem. So I kind of like to push through that and like do that, but it was for my health, and it still bothers people,
isn't it,
tremendously that I don't eat meat.
So you're a trainer.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how your goal is to help people find a path where they're better.
Yeah.
The world around them resents that.
I know.
I can't figure that out.
I know.
Is it because you feel lazy? And so now.
Right. It's so whatever. I always tell my kids and everybody else, whenever somebody picks on you for anything that has nothing to do with them, it's their own insecurity.
Right.
Right. Like, it's like me eating a salad at lunch and you having a steak makes your lunch is no different. I didn't ask, and I don't push it on anyone. So it's like, so what is it? Why would you even pick on me or even bring it up. So it comes from people's insecurities, but it's also kind of debunking the people's thoughts of like how you have to have muscle mass to have, you got to eat meat to have muscle.
Right. And which you don't.
You don't at
no.
all.
No, you don't.
And I think it's, before I did it or when I did it, it wasn't as popular. And now a lot of stuff has been coming out, a lot of cool documentaries.
Oh, yeah. You Are What You Eat. You see that you with the twins?
Yeah. Game Changers on Netflix was really cool because it was athletes.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of people just assume vegans and plant-based, it's like, you know, hippy-dippy.
Yeah,
and
you're skinny, but you get dizzy when you stand up.
She flicker and she falls over. Right. And so that was like all athletes. And it's not just about like, you know, loving animals, which of course I love animals, but it's actually like – My thought process was there's so many things that said like, oh, dairy's bad, dairy's good. Meat's bad, meat's good. There's so many different things being said. And I'm like, you know what? But nobody's ever said like vegetables are bad. So while everybody's fighting over here, I'm going to go with the one thing that's never really been
nobody
brought up.
Nobody fought about
like,
a vegetable.
Yeah, right. Nobody ever said like it causes cancer or obesity. But you can have like, okay, well, you know, the science is backing this. Well, wait a minute. You know, the meat company, the dairy company owns this. And
right.
So I'm like, you know what? You guys fight. I'm just going to stick with these guys over here. And it's worked.
It's worked.
And I feel great. And I don't have any like any repercussions. I mean, my cholesterol has gone down. And it's definitely.
Are you stronger than you've ever been?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're not 24?
Give like a little bit higher.
40. Okay. Okay, fair enough.
I feel 24.
Right.
I'm 41.
Oh, okay.
And I was never in bad shape. I don't think I was ever in a spot where I was like...
Never let it go to the point where 50 pounds 50 was sitting plus. On a staircase.
No, but on me, I'm small. I mean, I remember being up like 10 to 15 pounds from what I am now, which on me was a good amount.
Right.
Not that I was ever not working out or not fit, but I think that was diet related for sure.
Fitness is... Tell me if you find this to be true.
Okay.
Fitness is, I think you posted something about how food is the most addictive stress
related drug,
and exercise is
underutilized antidepressant. Yes.
Completely, completely true. And it still continues to amaze me how people don't root for you when you enter. Even like, okay, I'm going to have to cut this part, but I'm not. Trish's mom.
Yeah. Oh.
Like she's.
We'll call her. Jane.
Jane, right.
This lady. You know.
Jane, who happens to know Trish real well.
Since the day she was born.
Almost as if she was there. Trish is working out. And, you know, like, does that whole journey. And it's an amazing journey. Every time she talks to mom, you're working out too much. You got to rest. You're working out too much. And I'm like, how are you not rooting for the, oh, same thing? Okay. How are you not rooting for the, there's a microphone right there.
My dad will think she's too skinny.
Oh, really? Yeah, same thing. Yeah. You're getting too skinny. You're working out too much. But I'm like, she's standing up. She couldn't stand up. How's that not?
Let's look at the silver lining.
Right. How's that not the lead story that she's standing up? But people never root for you when you get in shape.
No, and I said.
Except other people who are in shape.
Yeah, oh, right. Absolutely.
Other people who are in shape root
are
for you.
Are your biggest cheerleaders.
Yeah. The other people.
Because it's an insecurity, and I always found that like I have a one of my best friends is super tiny. You know, we joke that she's 95 pounds soaking wet, and people have no problem poking fun at somebody who's tiny.
Right,
but would never be like, I think you need to lose 10 pounds. Like that's such a thing that you wouldn't say to someone.
I was going to ask you
but
about
to
that.
Tell her to gain, or like somebody said on one of my comments, a family member, they're like, you're so lucky you're in such good, or you're so lucky you have such a nice body. And I'm like, well.
Dude, that ain't luck, honey.
Yeah. I just got offended. I'm like, well, it's kind of my life.
You're watching the video, right?
It's not like I was born. Yeah. So it's like little things like that happen.
It's amazing though, because people don't root for you.
Yeah.
And B, I have found the most honest people in my life to be trainers.
My best friends all come from pretty much, I mean, not all of them, because actually my core best friends are not from the gym, but my closest, amazing, I'm surrounded by amazing people, and it's from the gym.
And all honest. Yeah. I did a glute class the other day.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, you know, I'm a way better guitar player than I am glute player.
A glute trainer?
Right.
Glute worker outer?
So I do this class, and I do this class every Thursday at 8:30.
Okay.
And I come out, and another one of it, his name is Dylan. He's the guy who got the weight off of me.
Yeah.
I come out, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
trainers.
Right? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, he goes, you're never going to get big glutes. It's just not going to happen. I go, am I ever even going to be good at it? And he's like, no, you're never going to be good at it. He's
grab
like,
your guitar, buddy.
Yeah, no, work something else out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't walk.
Yeah.
So I'm like literally walking out of the class. And I have been, talk about understanding gender in a way different way.
Yeah.
I am the only male in a class of 28 women.
Yeah.
In this glute class, and each one of them could kick my ass across the parking lot and back and not even notice they were doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we had one of my women who always takes my class, she brought her son and her nephew, and they were mid to early 20s, like 23, 24, and they were like jokesters, funny, great energy, and they got their asses handed to them. And he's like, here, we're like, oh, we'll just go keep my aunt company.
Right,
she's
yeah.
Like mid to late 50s at the time. Like, all right, let's just keep her, okay. And then he's like, we were on the floor. He's like, I almost threw up.
Yeah, oh, I threw up.
Yeah.
Oh, I have thrown up.
Yeah, yeah, it's
when I started working out with Dylan, he used to bring a bucket out and just put it in the middle of the floor and go, bro, we're going to get there. So, and I'm like, okay, fine.
All right.
Yeah. You have four kids?
I have four kids, so I've made a little face and hand gesture that when you said that you were in the system. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
But two of my boys I fostered. See? You had a vibe about me.
I knew it.
Dead on.
There you go.
Dead on, and I didn't know that about you. And then we just recently adopted them.
Fantastic. Yes. Tell me the why first.
I don't really know what started it. Like, we can't really pinpoint. I kind of always just I don't know. My grandmother on my dad's side had children of her own and then fostered and adopted some kids. And then one of my uncles she adopted with Down syndrome, my dad's youngest brother. Mm. And then I don't know if that's something that just kind of put it in my head that I wanted to do. I mean, they lived in Florida most of my life, so it's not like they were neighbors where I understood it. I don't know. I just always – one of my biggest pet peeves is so many people say people suck. Or they sit and will complain about kids in their class being mean to other kids. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's a story.
Right.
maybe that kid's such an asshole because he doesn't have parents.
Yeah.
So instead of just bitching about – I'm going to get emotional now.
Good.
About bitching about other kids or how crime is this and all this stuff. It's like, well, let's just stop talking about and get it from the source. So I kind of always just knew I actually only wanted to foster because I felt like people who really couldn't have children and adopted had really good intentions,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they really just wanted children, and foster homes have a real bad rap. And a lot of times foster parents have bad intentions,
mm-hmm.
whether it's financial, not that they were making a lot. But if you have five foster kids and you're not feeding them or giving them the lifestyle that you should, then I guess you could make some money off of it. And also it's kind of, I've heard of some stories of child predators taking on these foster children. So I just wanted to, in my head, I was like, I'm just going to foster. I'm going to make kids adoptable. Which it sounds silly, but it's a lot of
that doesn't sound silly at all. That sounds like God talking.
So I always felt like these kids come from so much craziness, and then I kind of love that. I love the wild ones. I love the wild kids. I felt like parenting was my thing, and I could handle it. So I was like, I'm just going to foster kids, make them adoptable, because people wouldn't want to adopt a lot of these kids, because even a lot of the phone calls I got to foster, it killed me to say no, but because I had two small children, I couldn't, I couldn't risk them.
Right.
But at a later date, I feel like that's something I can tackle. But I couldn't, I had to I remember telling my mom often, I'm like, make sure I don't lose sight of my family, because sometimes I'm like, I can fix that kid.
Right.
But you don't want to get into something and sacrifice your children's safety or anything. So I had to be careful of that. But that's just kind of what my outlook was on it.
So fucking beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah,
thanks.
That's beautiful.
So, and then
thank
just,
you. Don't thank me. Thank you.
And so they're so I have their biological brothers. They're siblings. That there's six. Two of their sister and half brothers in another home that they just got adopted. Yay!
There you go. They're together,
and they're in Ossining, so they're not far away.
Okay.
And then there's a couple. one brother that's in between my two he would be a half brother. I still haven't found, but it's on my to-do list to find that little boy, because the mom never had custody of him, so he's not that we know of in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't get eyes on him. And then they had called me when the mom was pregnant again a couple years ago and asked me to take the baby. I guess they were going to remove the baby from the hospital, but then she got, you know, her sixth kid, no custody of any of them. She just left, and they didn't get him. But so I mean, ideally I would love to, like, you know, my dream would be to, like, buy all this property and start a little community of, like, only people who foster, and have, like, a daycare center,
mm-hmm.
and nannies and babysitters, everything, because people don't realize with fostering, you can't just be like, hey, John, can you watch my kid, or have your sitter? They have to be licensed and background checked, and you're, like, not going to ask this, you know, 18-year-old girl to go get her fingerprints done so she can babysit.
Right. But unfortunately, that's what you need, though.
But what you need to do.
Right.
So only other foster parents, and mostly other foster parents, are freaking exhausted. You don't want to ask them, or they're not close. Remember, we had to drive our kids we had a trip planned, and we were supposed to go away. And again, it depends on the biological parents and if they're allowed to leave the state and all that stuff.
Right.
We had to bring them to Yonkers to this other woman who was a little old lady fostering, and they just cried the whole time. We got halfway to our destination. We were like, we can't even leave them. Like, how can you? We couldn't even leave them. So you feel like kind of alone like that. So I would love to, like, I mean, it's a pipe dream, but, like, yeah.
Why is it a pipe dream?
I don't know. You need a lot of money, I'm sure, to build a home.
Next year, you'd be the lifted project.
That's why we're here. If anybody wants to donate millions of dollars.
Well, or align
I'll
with...
I'll send you my Venmo.
Hey, Berkshire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's have a meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Berkshire is renting from them, but I was in Westchester, so all of the kids I had fostered were from Department of Social Services. And
that's just beautiful.
What an and May.
How are you? All right. So you teach?
Yep.
Is somebody helping you with these kids?
No.
You're on your own.
She's away all the time. Okay. Well, I mean, they're older now. Yeah. But, like, no, as far as...
Nine's not older.
Yeah. He's so funny. They're in school. Yeah, no. They're good. We're good.
So you're doing this by yourself?
Solo. Flying solo. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was married. I was married for 17 years.
Oh, I thought we were counting days. No, I was like, wait a
16
second.
16 years. Divorced very recently. Separated.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Is it good?
Yeah. Well, for me. No, we're going to make sure not to tell them to listen to this. 2 years separated. So
all the while you're going through the foster thing.
Yeah. So we adopted. It'll be 2 years in May. So we separated pretty much. I mean, you know that when the marriage is over, before the marriage is over, right?
Right.
Like, so I knew. And the process of from fostering to adoption is such a long process. And then you throw COVID in the mix and all the courts, everything just slowed down. So, I mean.
What was that like, though, to, like, because you can stop the process. Like, if you're in the heat of it and you're like, well, wait a second. I got you guys when I had.
Yeah.
Maybe half a support system, but a body.
Yeah.
Now there's no body, and you still decided to go ahead with it.
We adopted them together. So,
right.
Yep. So.
Oh, so they were fully adopted by the time.
By the time before we separated. Yes. Like, right.
Did you ever think, like, I'm just going to ride this out for the kids and then.
I tried every time we had separated a few times, and every time you try to get back to it for that sake and a small glimmer of hope. I'm sure your wife can relate. Of,
I don't know if she's ever had that small glimmer of hope.
Of change. and then you just realize, like, it was never about, like, I'm such a strong believer. I mean, my parents raised a very independent person, and it's just like, if you're not happy, nobody's happy. And then, like, you shouldn't, depending on your situation and your circumstances, it was never about the kids. I would have fostered and adopted children if I never
regardless.
Was, regardless. It was my calling. It's what I was, it really was something I had wanted to do before I was even married. It wasn't something that just came to me. So it was never an issue. And
is he, active? Is
yeah.
He, oh, he's supportive and active and...
Good enough. Yeah.
Wow. Hold on. Let me clip that silence right. No, just kidding.
Is this Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great. He loves.
Okay.
He loves his kids and.
All right.
He's a great dad.
Okay. All right. So, but still, that takes a spinal column to like.
You know, he worked a lot. He has his own business, so I always kind of did it alone.
Oh, okay. So you were used to it.
Yeah, and I was fine with that. You know, it's fine with The kids was never the hard part.
Right.
The marriage was the hard part.
Got it. Right.
Oh, you know, and so with the, even still, was there was no life has my life really has not been disrupted by, unfortunately, because he worked a lot. So it was right. never like my life got disrupted because I lost a body. It was like it almost got lifted a little bit easier because it was one less person to
One less
care
person
of.
To take care of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. you know, and yeah. or to bring you down. And I always said, like, you don't have to make me happy, mm-hmm. but you can't cloud up my sunshine. And it got to a point where I was like, wait
That's a minute. Great line.
Thank you. Yeah, don't cloud up my sunshine. I say that all the time. It got to a point where I was like, oh, wait a minute. I don't feel happy. Right. I can usually be like, I'm happy, happy, happy. And then, like, you deal with your crap, but you go back to happy. And then it got to the point where I was like, wait a minute. I don't feel happy anymore.
Is it... Because the energy you put out at work.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I know trainers. I know that, yeah. you know, 70% of that real and 30% of it is I'm acting, I'm working, I'm performing.
Yeah. yeah.
Especially when you're teaching a class, there's sure. a performative aspect to
For
it.
For sure. There's a performative aspect to it, but there's also like you feed off of people's energy. So I wouldn't say that I was faking it, like slapping a smile on like an actor. I was absorbing your energy and that feeling of doing something I love. So I don't think it was fake. But again, it's like you don't, you know, Facebook and all that stuff, you never know. You post your best moments, not your worst
right,
moments. So
right.
I think it surprises a lot of people when they hear what I'm actually going through because they don't see that version of me. But of course, I'm
right.
not going to post the tears and all that stuff. But like, you know, it's just...
what would happen if you did?
Well, I wouldn't want to do that for my kids for that sense. I'm very open. I sometimes feel like I need an inner monologue. Like somebody needs to like mute me sometimes. But I have to. I'm cautious about that just for the kids and for my ex and stuff like that.
Right.
Even though I already feel like I overstepped a little bit. But it's like I try to protect that. But if I didn't have kids or if they were like deaf. it would be a bad scenario. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about. Definitely over talk probably.
Where are you with age and working out?
What do you mean?
Like, how do you know? So I'm 60.
Yep.
I'm working out with people your age.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when it's time to dial it back a little bit?
I mean, you can't say a number because there's some 60-year-olds out there.
No, like,
and
what,
you look great and you're fit. And then there's some that are like, look like legit grandparents.
Oh,
I think it's
so scary, man.
Like
where I work out, they have these classes called Aurora, and it's like, you know.
The seniors.
Yeah. And.
Look
and
there, man.
Well, and I'm like looking at them and I'm like, did I date you? And I'm like, you
yep.
know, that chair yoga's looking yeah. pretty.
Yeah. Yep, it's true.
Right.
And then you see
I'm doing 3-minute intervals and you're in a chair.
Yeah. Mm. And then there's people that can't even go to that. Those
yeah.
are the people that are trying.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
like I'm starting to get hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but I'm starting to get like hurt.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, you're doing a lot and it's hard to know exactly. I don't really want to ever think that there's going to be, like when people are like, my dad says all the time, sucks getting old. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Dude, I'm in the best shape of my life and I'm 60.
Dad, put the Oreo down.
Yeah.
Shit can be real nice. And it might be a matter of changing. You know, I'm such an annoyingly optimistic believer in that your diet can change your life and exercise. So it may not be, like you're starting to get hurt. Well, maybe it's just like, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to be doing this so much anymore. Maybe
right.
maybe I'm swapping out the glute class for a swim class, or maybe I don't think you should ever stop because the second, right? What do they say?
Well, that's the thing.
A body in motion stays in motion,
and it's
man.
So and it's so much harder to get in shape than it is to be in shape.
Yeah.
That I'm like, if I stop
yeah.
and backslide, I will never do this again.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Right.
And you're aware
I got here one time.
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm
one
not.
Time, but you. But there's so many things, and even like so many different avenues. Like I didn't. I was doing like belly dance class, spin class. You never know what you love, and you may what you loved in your 30s and 40s or 50s, you may not love now, or
right.
you're just over it, and maybe you
right.
never thought you would love yoga.
What's
and
your
you
workout like?
It's pretty much, I mean, I love strength training.
Okay.
I used to be the cardio junkie back, you know, like do the spin classes, do all the like aerobic classes. I've done some races, so I got into like running and swimming for a little bit and biking for a pickup, and then I hated all of it. And
I have the best biking story in the free world.
Oh God, is it scary?
It's funny.
Oh God, I hate biking. I literally never did a triathlon in my life, and I'm like, I'm gonna do an Ironman.
I did a triathlon.
Yeah. So I did an Ironman, but I hated. But they're like, "What do you like about it?" I'm like, "Nothing."
Oh no, there's nothing.
Right. Scary as anything.
Wait, the story's gonna make you laugh. I think. Yeah. So I used to race bikes.
Oh God.
And this isn't the triathlon. I just like would on race, weekends yeah. race a bike.
Like a psycho.
Right, and when you're right.
Ah, say that. Yeah, you're coming back sense, together. John.
So when you're a guy.
Yeah.
And you race a bike in the 90s.
Yeah.
The seats aren't what
they were
today. They
don't have the protection for the...
So when you... How do I say this?
Bump the junk?
Yeah. You wind up kinking your urethra.
Oh. Oh.
Which gives you bladder infections.
All oh,
the time. No. I just had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, me too.
but... that why?
Makes sense.
Oh, I think we know too much about each other already. No, so
how is that urethra? You get urethra.
I'm on kink today. So you get enough bladder infections and you know what it is.
Yeah.
So my doctor would get, like, Bactrim and Peridium. Bactrim is the antibiotic, Peridium is the bladder aspirin.
Yeah.
So this is back in the 90s. I used to be able to call my doctor and say, I'm on my way back from a race, and she's like, by the time you get to CVS, it'll be there waiting for you. I know, you know what it is.
Yeah.
So you're from Westchester, you'll get this.
Yeah.
So I'm coming back over from Jersey, and I'm on Springbrook Parkway, and the bladder infection comes, and I'm like, I'm gonna die. So I call the doctor. Doctor's on vacation, and I had like the first cell phone. She didn't have a cell phone.
Right.
So I'm like, fuck. But I'm going past Westchester Medical Center.
Perfect.
Which happens to be, and this is important to the story, by the Westchester County Prison.
Yes.
So.
I can't wait for the connection.
Oh, I'm about to make it.
Yeah.
So I go to the emergency room and I'm in all my bike racing stuff, yeah. which I love when people wear that to spin class. I love when you're wearing like the little hat to spin class. Yeah. I'm like, what wind are you beating here?
They
but okay.
are so aerodynamic.
Right? You are way too aerodynamic.
Yeah, yep.
But so I go in and I go to the nurse. I'm like, I have a bladder infection.
Yeah.
I need Bactrim and Peridium. I know what it is. I just finished a race. I've done this 25 times.
Yeah.
You still have to see a doctor. Okay, that's fair. You're getting a prescription, still have to see a doctor. And there weren't even like nurse practitioners back then.
Yeah.
So I get in the emergency room and I'm on the cot and there's like the curtain around, right? And a doctor comes in and he says, and he goes, what's going on? I'm like, I have a bladder infection. I know what it is. I need Bactrim and Peridium. My normal doctor is X and she just writes it for me, but she's not here. He goes, well, I have to check your prostate. And I'm like, you don't have to check my prostate.
It's been checked.
No, right. I know what this is. Yeah. I got it on the way here. And he's like, well, I still have to check your prostate. Out comes the jelly.
Yeah.
Out comes the glove. No, I'm going somewhere.
I'm going in, baby.
Right? I'm bent over the cot
because
you stand on the floor and your elbows are on the cot.
So I've
and
heard.
You're in an L position. That's why I'm
–
I'm at –
I've seen it on a few shows.
And there's a crack in the curtain, and there's three prisoners.
That's not the only crack.
Right? And there's three prisoners with shackles watching me get...
jammed.
Right. There.
Right.
So I have effectively been raped in prison.
Yeah. Did he unkink your urethra just by doing that?
No.
You're up there, while you're even around that area.
If we're doing this anyway.
Right. While you're in the area.
No, I got the bathroom in prison. Yeah. I'm like, motherfucker. But,
So, wow.
Anyway.
We do know a lot about each other.
Well, now we do.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So the prisoners,
they know what's going on, too.
Yeah, they're like, this is why we're here.
Right.
This is
before,
why do you think we're here
this
right
is before
now?
Internet porn. Yes, I know what you boys are. Yeah. How uncool
I
is
saw
it?
You walk in with that biker's outfit on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So anyway, so you did a lot of cardio, but now you strength train.
Yes. Enough about me.
Right.
Yes.
Welcome to the John Show. So embarrassing.
My special guest here.
Right.
I love strength training. I love lifting weights. I do love races. It's just, the time it's time consuming to train for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my classes would be like mostly strength training, and then some HIIT classes, which is the high intensity interval training. And now since I just started that weight loss, I'm a weight loss coordinator over at one of the doctor's office, Duchess Family Health. Yeah, so which is amazing.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
You know, it's like one of those things where you like don't even, I always like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know. But all these beautiful opportunities just really come.
You're attracting them.
I always say that. I'm not that it's a compliment to myself, but for some reason I'm a magnet to magic. I have amazing people in my life. How many times do I say it? My friends, my family are absolutely amazing. And one of the main reasons why I wanted to foster was because I feel like I'm too lucky.
Right.
You have to share it. You have to share it. So I don't – these just beautiful things happen to me. And I think maybe I'm just aware of it, and I see it when it comes, so I take it. So this weight loss coordinator is great. It's at a doctor's office. She has a beautiful outlook.
Give the number out. How do we hire you?
I don't know what the number is. Look it up. Google GTS. Google that shit.
All right. What's
Duchess Family Health.
Okay. You know what? I'll put it in the plug. Is that cool?
So, yeah. Okay. Put it in the plug. Kristen, I don't even know what that means, but do it.
I plugged the show. Okay, wait. What is it? Now you called me out on it. Hold on.
Duchess Family Health.
Duchess County Fair. Duchess.
Yeah. So Kristen Prince is a nurse practitioner that kind of separated because everybody was complaining about the big wig medical centers that nobody can get an appointment with, or you're just
so true.
So she opened this practice and she does everything, and it's a family practice, and then she does the weight. You know, everybody, I remember a few people said to me, like, well, Ozempic's out, you're out of a job. And I'm like, no, that's just a weight loss thing. But so she will prescribe the people who need this weight loss prescription. But what I love about it is she won't just prescribe it. You have to be part of this weight loss program.
Fantastic.
And that's where I hopped in, and she asked me to just teach them the skills. So if it's not there, the weight loss injection will just help them along the way.
Right.
But they must be part of this program.
That's fantastic.
So they, you know, meet with me. I check in with them once a week or more if they need me. And we're in touch, and it's anything from if they have a question about food or if they made a mistake or what they can do. And it's just, you know, I told Kristen, the nurse practitioner, and I said, you know, most people know how to lose weight, right? We've talked about it for years. These aren't kids, right? Then there's 500 different ways to lose weight. It's what sticks for you, and it's me just holding them accountable, making them, you know, and giving ideas for sure. But it's just, you know, having to know that you check in with somebody and you wanted this prescription, which is great. But you need to learn the skills. So a lot of people in these like med spas are doing it and all this stuff. It's a different, you know, it's going to help one problem cause another.
Right.
And she won't do that. And I love that. And it's
your phone number, in case we want to hire you, is 845.
Yes.
Five.
This is not my cell phone.
No, it's not.
We're not giving that out.
Oh, shoot. Okay, wait. 845-520-9904, Duchess Family Health.
Yes.
Okay.
Kristen Prince is the nurse practitioner there who opened this up, and it's amazing. It's sparkling clean. She has, you know, she sees children and adults, and so it's a great, great place. So she's doing wonderful things, and we're hoping that we can really work together and, like, make something really amazing. We don't know what it is. So again, if anyone has any ideas, but yeah, that's the goal.
I think you're amazing.
Thank you.
We just blew through an hour. How much does that suck?
I mean, really?
How much does that suck? If I didn't have a show right after this, I would ask you to do it. But will you come back?
Yeah.
You will?
Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking we could do?
Yeah.
Is work out together.
Yeah.
And then come back and make fun of each other.
Yeah, I mean, you would have nothing on me. Nothing.
Well, all right.
But yeah, let's work out together.
Work out together and then do a show about it?
Absolutely.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God. Those are my dreams, yeah.
All right, cool. How do do the gist thing, where do I go? I just find you on Facebook?
Find me on Facebook, Carrie Martabano, Martabano. And then you can just message me there, or you can follow me on Instagram. It's so beautiful. Hold on. You can follow me on Instagram at Carrie's_fitlife. I think that's how I say it. Underscore.
Yes.
Bottom dash.
The line that's underneath all the other letters that doesn't have anything on top of it.
We call it a low dash.
I knew there was something about you. The foster care story is amazing.
That's funny because you found me and I'm like, I don't really know know how he found me. I never asked.
Sometimes I do this organically. Yeah. Sometimes I just like see somebody and I'm like, that's the right energy. Yeah. I know there's something. And
I dig that.
I was right about you.
Yeah, thanks.
But seriously, you want to work out together?
Absolutely. 1,000. And you don't have to ask
teach me
twice.
Stuff? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to teach you stuff, but I'll work out with you.
All right, cool.
I want to meet your trainer.
Oh, you know what? You want to take her class?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Julie, yeah. We're going to take your class.
Thank you, Julie.
and
I'd like a free guest pass.
Oh, I'll handle that. No, I'll handle that.
Totally kidding.
The amount of stuff we've done for Lifetime, yeah. I think they can give me a pass.
Yeah, yeah. Fine.
So that's Carrie. She's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm John.
He's pretty awesome, too.
Oh, thank you. And this was Home From Here. We're good. The foster care story is gorgeous,
man. How funny is that?